Welcome to today's Good Friday service. As Easter approaches, we are filled with awe and joy as we see the empty tomb and hear the angels again proclaim, "He is not here, he is risen." The Easter event transcends time, culture, and all other barriers. We have created to invite us to be an Easter people. In the midst of this brightness, we often overlook the shadows of Good Friday, the darkness that pushed Jesus toward the cross. Good Friday represents identification with and response to the brokenness of our world. It is here that Jesus walks with us and a hurting world in the midst of our struggles. Easter is coming, not in spite of Good Friday, but precisely because of it. Unless we have met Christ in our brokenness, Easter passes us by, a beautiful picture that eludes our grasp. This morning we'll be doing a tenebrae service, or a service of shadows, where we will be turning down the lights for the bulk of the service, and we will turn on a couple more lights when the songs come up. As we follow along, we are invited to take time to contemplate the suffering and death of Jesus and the darkness that death brings into our world. The service will continue on unannounced, so please follow along in your bulletins. with one minor adjustment to your bulletin. The hymn, Were You There?, says that it's in hymnal of the worship book. It's actually Mennonite hymnal, the red book, number 164. And when the service is done, it will end incomplete, waiting for Easter to come. So we will end in silence and leave in silence. You may stay and pray and meditate for as long as you wish at the end.
Where Jesus prayed and was betrayed.
Come to the courts of justice.
To Pilate.
Where the righteous one was found guilty.
Come to the hill outside Jerusalem.
Where the innocent one suffered and died.
Come, let us bow down in awe.
For what happened there was done for us.
Let us pray. Gracious God, on this day we gather to remember the suffering and death of Jesus. He was despised and rejected, oppressed and afflicted. Yet he was prepared to be wounded for our transgressions. We come overwhelmed by the love of Jesus for us and his commitment to defeat evil, even when that meant his own suffering and death. In his willingness to make us righteous, he poured himself out to death, death on a cross. And so, in response to such love and sacrifice, we commit ourselves as his disciples to overcome evil with good, suffering with wholeness, and oppression with justice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Throughout Lent, we have been looking at how we have encountered God, or more precisely, how God has encountered us through the everydayness of our lives. We looked at God's encounter through the wilderness where he was tempted, through Nicodemus, the woman at the well, blind Bartimaeus, Lazarus, and last Sunday, finally, through the innocent children. And it feels like we have encountered God throughout our life and we're ready for Easter. But there's still something missing. There's still an encounter that needs to happen. And that is the encounter of Good Friday. We gather on Good Friday to remember what God, in an incredible act of love, has done for us in sending Jesus to live among us and then to die for us. On the cross there, carrying our sins so that we could get rid of our addiction to sin. So that we once again could be connected to God. We once again could be children of God. And so that we could see what it looks like to be people who understand the love of God. People who understand what it means to be created in the image of God. And that's what we do today. We remember. But there's more. Something more and incredibly important happened on Good Friday that we want to remember today. As Jesus hung on the cross, carrying the weight of our sins, God turned away. We remember those words, my God, why have you forsaken me? We often look at the physical suffering of Jesus and think that's the suffering that he did on Good Friday. And there was suffering to be sure, but nothing compared to being torn away from the presence of God. There's a movie called The Passion of the Christ. It's a terrible movie, but there's a moment of brilliance in it. And in the movie, at this point, the camera pans, as it were, to the vantage point of God. And you see the cross down there and a teardrop falls. It's not only Christ hanging on the cross who feels torn. It is God who lets him go. But as Jesus hangs on the cross carrying the weight of our sins, he stands beside us in our brokenness, not reaching down to us. He is there. And he understands the pain and struggle that we go through in our lives. He understands the pain of a life full of discouragement. He understands loss, the loss of significant people, whether that's through death or divorce or estrangement, and the caring we feel, he feels. And he understands the disappointment we feel in our lives, disappointment for ourselves, disappointment for others that we love dearly. He understands the frustration of disease that robs us of all we could be, of mental illness that doesn't allow us to fulfill our potential and be who God has created us to be. And on Good Friday, Jesus stands with us and understands implicitly what that is like. He understands as we look back on our life and are disappointed with choices we've made, disappointed with things that we did or didn't say. Today, we read the story of how God stands with us and feels that pain. We encounter God. God encounters us in the worst that life has to bring. It's like Psalm 139, verse 7 and 8. Where can I go to escape from God, where his spirit is not? If I go to heaven, he's there. If I go to the depths of hell, he is there. Or Paul in Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 36. He says, what can separate us from the love of God? Neither heights nor depths, principalities or powers, angels nor demons. Nothing. And on Good Friday, we understand that because as we stand there, he stands with us. And we realize that for whatever struggles go through our life, God is there. Today, we don't want to read the story. We want to experience the story as our story. And as we go through the service, we want to listen as the readers read the story from the book of Matthew. I want you to listen closely because it's us that story was written for and about. We want to be a part of that as we go through after the first reading, which is about the Last Supper. We want to take part in the Last Supper, not to remember, but to participate, to be a part of that. May God be with us as we sit in this Good Friday. Easter will come quick enough. May God be with us as we sit in this Good Friday and feel God's presence in the midst of our lives and the struggles that they bring. Let's pray. God, we stand here today as your people, overwhelmed, grateful for what you have done for us in sending Jesus, who was willing to go to the cross, and also overwhelmed by the fact that you know us intimately. You know our struggles and the things that make life hard. Today we come to you realizing you understand. Be with us as we hear the story to be able to internalize it as our own. Amen.
Prince of glory. came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." They were very sad and began to say to him one after the other, "Surely you don't mean me, Lord." Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to the man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, "Surely you don't mean me, Rabbi." Jesus answered, "You have said so." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for the many, for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from the fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives.
Perhaps we could have the house lights up for the communion service, please. Today, we join the 12 around the table. I invite you to take your bulletin and read the words, the first part together with me. "For I received from the Lord what I also handed to you. This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's pray. We remember this morning, God, the incredible sacrifice that you have made for us. We remember that your body was broken so that we could become whole. We ask that you would be with us as we take the elements this morning. Amen. I'd like to invite the servers to join me, please.
Till you come to my King.
Is everyone received who would like to participate? Body of Christ broken for us. Let's participate. For those who would rather not, would like to have juice as opposed to wine, you'll find the center circle is juice. I'd like to also ask that you hold onto the cup until we've all received and we'll participate together. Would you please take your bulletins and again read together with me? In the same way, Jesus took the cup after supper, saying, "For as often as you drink this, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's pray. We have felt the covenant of love that you have come to bring, God. As you have gone to the cross, you have stood beside us at our lowest point. We have experienced the love that you have come to bring, a transforming love that changes us to become the sons and daughters you have created us to be. And so this morning we come, grateful, saying thank you. Amen. Servers, please. Has anyone been overlooked? The blood of Christ shed for you. And so we are reminded again that we have become a part of the story. Listen as the story continues, as our story continues.
Then Jesus told them, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." "Truly I tell you," Jesus answered, "this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die for you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the 3rd time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come, and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer."
While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd, armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now, the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. The one I kiss is the man, arrest him. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus replied, "Do what you came for, friend." Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached for his sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. "Put your sword back in its place," Jesus said to him, "for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen in this way?" In that hour, Jesus said to the crowd, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching, and you did not arrest me. But this has all taken place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas the high priest, where the teachers of the law and elders had assembled. But Peter followed at a distance, right up to the courtyard of the high priest. He entered and sat down with the guards to see the outcome. The chief priests and the whole of the Sanhedrin were looking for false evidence against Jesus so they could put him to death. But they did not find any, though many false witnesses came forward. Finally, two came forward and declared, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the church and temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days.'" Then the high priest stood up and said to Jesus, "Are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you?" But Jesus remained silent. The high priest said to him, "I charge you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God." "You have said so," Jesus replied. "But I say to all of you, from now on, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "He has spoken blasphemy. Why do we need any more witnesses? Look, now you have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" "He is worthy of death," they answered. Then they spit in his face and struck him with their fists. Others slapped him and said, "Prophesy to us, Messiah, who hit you?"
Like a sheep before the shearer, his side. Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. You also were with Jesus of Galilee, she said. But he denied it before them all. I don't know what you're talking about, he said. Then he went out to the gateway, where another girl saw him, and said to the people there, this fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. He denied it again with an oath. I don't know the man. After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, surely you are the one, for your accent gives you away. Then he began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them, I don't know the man. Immediately a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. Early in the morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people came to the decision to put Jesus to death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 silver coins to the chief priests and the elders. I have sinned, he said, for I have betrayed innocent blood. What is that to us? They replied. That's your responsibility. So Judas threw the money into the temple and left. Then he went away and hanged himself. The chief priests picked up the coins and said, it is against the law to put this into the treasury, since it is blood money. So they decided to use the money to buy the potter's field as a burial place for the foreigners. That is why it has been called the field of blood to this day. Then what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. They took the 30 silver coins, the price set on him by the people of Israel, and they used them to buy the potter's field, as the Lord commanded me.
Meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, are you the king of the Jews? You have said so, Jesus replied. When he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him, don't you hear the testimony they are bringing against you? But Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. Now it was the governor's custom at the festival to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time, they had a well-known prisoner whose name was Jesus Barabbas. So while the crowd was gathered, Pilate asked them, which one do you want me to release to you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who was called the Messiah? For he knew it was out of self-interest that they had handed Jesus over to him. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message, don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. Which of the two do you want me to release to you? Asked the governor. Barabbas, they answered. "What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" Pilate asked. They all answered, "Crucify him." "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him!" When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. "I am innocent of this man's blood," he said. "It is your responsibility." All the people answered, "His blood is on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged, and he handed him over to be crucified.
Soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand and knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. They spit on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine to drink, mixed with gall. But after tasting it, he refused to drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots, and sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Above his head, they placed the written charge against him: "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Two robbers were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. He saved others, they said, but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him, for he said, I am the Son of God. In the same way, the robbers who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him.
From noon until about 3 p.m, darkness came over all the land. About 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of those standing there heard this, they said, he's calling Elijah. Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurions and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, surely he was the Son of God. Many women were there watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons.
As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. "Sir," they said, "remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first." "Take a guard," Pilate answered. "Go, make the tomb as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard.